Welcome to Huddle. Did I hear somebody at the first table here say, "Oh no, not him again"? Well, if you've been following along in the book, this is the last chapter, chapter 24. I don't know about you, but Huddle has been one of the basic blocks that have changed my life. And I've taken away something from every huddle. One thing that I really remember that sticks with me every day is what Randy Blankenship said in one of his talks many months ago. You can choose the choice, but you can't choose the consequence. I live with that every day. That, and are you who you say you are? You see, how can a man change? See, I'll bet I ask you if you've ever known a person who completely changed his life. Most of you would say no. I don't mean someone who quit smoking or drinking or even accepted Christ into their life. I mean a person who completely turned their life around. And furthermore, a person who changed his life without submitting to God. I dare say there would be none. Some of us really don't want to change, even though we say we do, because inside most of us want to be in control of everything. That means we can't submit to God's will without a complete surrender of our will. Let me ask you this question, though. Has this study of this book, The Man in the Mirror, changed your life? Has any of what's taken place in Huddle here in the last 4 or 5 years convicted you enough to make you want to change your life? I don't know how many of you knew me or thought you knew me. How many of you know me or think you know me? My life has changed. And I'll leave that up to you to determine how. There's an easy way to find out the answer to that question about you. Look back. Are you still doing the same things that you've always done in life? Are you just going through the motions? You got a set of blinders on? Is it just like the old Buck Owens song, "Are you acting naturally?" I believe if we act naturally, we stick with the same old self-driven, self-motivated life. We like to point to little changes that we ourselves made. They really don't mean amount to a hill of beans. But God judges us. He judges us by what's in our hearts. Ask yourself the question, what's in the way of you changing? Probably you. Most of us live lives of quiet desperation, where the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Is that the way you're living your life? Morley says in the book, we didn't become the men we are overnight, and we don't change quickly. The Christian man must recharge his spiritual batteries every day. It requires daily effort. It's a constant battle between good and evil. You must, and I repeat must, you must study this and read this, or you'll fall away. Bible reading and study coupled with prayer comprise the first essential building block for helping a man to change. If you underline and memorize Scripture, it gives you courage and strength and faith. You establish a routine of seeking God and His will as an expression of faith. Surround yourself with other Christian men, men you can be comfortable with, trust, and love. I was surprised last week after Steve Butler's talk, the amount of men in here that told me they don't have an accountability partner. You need that. I need that. I need it every day. I belong to a couple small groups, and one of them's 12 or more men. We challenge each other every week. We sit and think of ways to come up to challenge men to live up to being who they say they are. Whether it's lose a few pounds, how to treat your wife, how to treat your children. If you don't have that accountability partner, trust me, you'll fail. Morley points out in the book, everyone is tempted to sin every day, and God promises He will provide an escape if we'll just choose it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. But we're all eventually going to sin. When we do, we just need to confess it and thank Him for forgiving our sins. 1 John 1:8-9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from unrighteousness. I know life's a struggle. If you've got that struggle, I've had that struggle. I know, especially in this economy, it's a big struggle right now. But you're not going to be sitting around someday and change just overcomes you. That won't happen. See, real change is intentional. You have to be intentional about it. You have to change the things you do every day. You can't keep living the same life, doing the same things, even as a Christian, and expect to change. You can't stand still, or you'll fall back. You have to move forward. I've had guys say it to me all the time, I don't get it. And tell you the truth, sometime I didn't get it. But I found it in my heart. I'm here to tell you guys, if you're not getting it and you keep saying you don't get it, it's because in your heart you don't want to get it. I know some of you are going through tough times right now. Layoffs, mortgage problem. There's major changes in your life. But at the same time, why don't we concentrate on making changes on our life? When's the time going to be better than right now to put your life in God's hands? You've been comfortable long enough. Isn't it time to come away from your security blanket? Remember, ultimately, it's not about you. It's not about who you are. It's about whose you are. Mark Batterson says in his book, Chasing the Wild Goose, 2,000 years ago, Jesus issued a standing invitation. Follow me. But it came with a warning. Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. In Matthew 8:20. See, Jesus never promised safety or certainty or predictability. He certainly didn't die on the cross to tame us. He died to make us dangerous. Dangerous for Him. And I don't care how you thought you knew me before, I'm more dangerous now than I've ever been for Jesus Christ. He died to invite us into a life of spiritual adventure. He invited us to change. I took that invitation and I've never looked back. Quit taking the easy way out. Go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. If your dream is so small you can accomplish it on your own, it's not big enough. Let it be big God, little me. Quit just making a living and make a life. Make a difference. Quit making excuses. Be that better husband that you need to be. Be that better father. Be that better co-worker. Be that better neighbor. be that better grandpa. But most of all, be intentional. Be something that lets your light shine. Anyone, and I'm sure there's several in here, can be nice guys. But a lot of times, nice guys don't do anything to stir up the water. They don't do anything controversial. Christ was the most controversial person in history. Real Christian men are bold men who have no fear except in the Lord. Let Christ be your constant companion. Don't let fear dictate your decisions. Having faith is all about action. You cannot walk by faith and live in fear. You cannot walk by faith and live in fear. I see men walking around all the time with a backpack of fear on their back. When we fear God, we fear nothing else. Listen to this. Your fears define your boundaries in life. And you need to decide what you're afraid of. So as a kid, I was bullied a lot when I was little. And one day my stepdad took me off to the side and he said, "What are you afraid of? What exactly is it you're afraid of?" Until I confronted that fear, I never overcame it. And I couldn't overcome it. But when I did, my life was transformed. The way is clear. If we could just die to ourselves every day, we can begin to live. We can really change. But you must die to live. We can finally be the man God wants us to be. But the key to that and to your future is obedience. That's a word a lot of us don't even like to say. Morley says in his book, it's in your hands. Your transformation requires no one less than Jesus Christ. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Don't try to be who you're not. Be yourself. Live like today is the first day and the last day of your life. Remember, ultimately, it's not about you. It's about the one who wants to write his story through your life. Remember in Romans 2:16, the day will surely come when God, by Jesus Christ, will judge everyone's secret life. Do you have a secret life? Are you comfortable with that? But you should be comforted in knowing that in Romans 9:31, if God is for us, who can be against it? Morley asks the question, do you have the desire to see others come to faith in Christ? And if not, why not? Aren't you concerned about your soul and the souls of others? The Great Commission tells us to go. That means all of us. Not 35%, not 45%. Especially those of you sitting there in those chairs feeling safe in your comfort zone. Can anything else be as important? Can anything else be as important as being a Christian man and bringing others to Christ? And being the Christian leader of your family? Be the leader God wants you to be. I heard a speaker Friday at Maximum Impact. His name was Kevin Carroll. And he said when he was a little boy, his grandpa would come in every day and say, "Kevin, how's your want to?" He said, "Want to's good, Pappy. It ain't broke. My want to ain't broke. Is your want to broke?" Stand up against bigotry and racial prejudice for once. Stand up before the downtrodden in this world. Go minister to some old people, some old folks who just want to talk to someone. Or maybe have you pray for them. Increase your love for others and for God. Go visit and minister to those who are dying. Don't wait till they're dead to console their family. Do it now. But be intentional. God will go with you, but He won't go for you. In the book, Morley talks of partial surrender. There was a politician once asked, it might have been Kerkhoff, I don't know if they asked him this or not, "What's your position on whiskey? If you mean the demon drink that poisons the mind, pollutes the body, desecrates the family, and inflames sinners, I'm against it. But if you mean the elixir of Christmas cheer, the shield against winter chill, the taxable potion that puts needed funds into public coffers to comfort little crippled children, then I'm for it." And that is my position. I will not compromise. Many of us go back and forth like this between life with Christ and life in the world. We compromise. We have only partially surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ when we compromise. I know as much as anyone this requires daily effort, but I challenge you. You see, the person you are going to have to deal with that is the most trouble in all this world is you. I can't take credit for that, but I heard it and it made an impact in my life. Have you got someone to keep you accountable if you don't get them? Or have you still got the blinders on? Are you just focused on your needs and that's it? Men of Huddle, the stakes could not be higher. We have the opportunity to turn Kokomo, and maybe more than that, upside down. There's some tremendous leaders in this room if we just change our focus. If you have the courage to make authentic change in your life, if you really want to make a difference, let me ask you, is your want to broke? Just exactly what are you afraid of? Jesus Christ is calling on you. Are you listening? In Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Hope you have a tremendous summer. Thank you very much.